And be our testimony. Thank you for that special. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation this morning, Revelation chapter 6. It'll almost sound like a little bit of a continuation of what we were teaching out of Jude in Sunday school. But Revelation chapter 6, we'll read about five or six verses beginning at near the end of the chapter in verse 12 and read right on down through verse 17 to the end. Hope you brought your Bible and you'll open it up with us. Easy to find, the last book in the Bible. I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on class equality. And I think you'll see where we're going in a little bit. Context here of this chapter is taking us to the end of what we talk about in Christianity as the tribulation period. It's future of where we're at this morning. We're into the place now that we're waiting, and we believe that the Lord is coming soon for his saints, for his saved. And when he does, there's going to be a period of time on earth that's going to be trouble, special trouble for the nation of Israel. It's called the Day of Jacob's Trouble. We believe it's 7 years long. We believe it's, we call it the tribulation period. And if we review the chapter just a little bit to get it in context, in chapter 4, John, I believe a type of the church, is caught up to heaven. In heaven in chapter 5, he sees one on the throne, and he sees a seven-sealed book, and he weeps because nobody is worthy to take it. But then he finds out that one is overcome by his blood. He's the Lamb of God, and he takes the book and begins to open the seals. It's a seven-sealed book. And he begins to open it. Six of those seals are opened in chapter 6. And we're going to be dealing, as we jump into the text, with the sixth seal of the book. Now, understand, though, in the chronology of it, that it takes us, in a bird's eye view, all the way to the 19th chapter of Revelation, as we were studying in Sunday school this morning, when the Lord comes back with 10,000s of his saints to set up his kingdom on earth. That's where you'll get when we get to the last verses here of chapter 6. Now, from this point on forward in the book of Revelation to chapter 19, you've got details that fill in and events that take place during that seven-year period that we call the tribulation period. All that is future, but let's notice beginning here in verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now I want you to notice, especially here in verse 15. I'm speaking to you this morning on a little thing we're calling class equality. Look at the classes represented in verse 15. And the kings of the earth, that's a class we'd put certain people in, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman. That's those in debt, even to the place in the Bible is speaking of as selling oneself into slavery to pay off a debt, every bondman and every free man. All these different groups hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, of the Lamb. Now, we need to understand something. Do you understand what the word class means? Words, to understand words, it's important we understand words. Sometimes they just fly by and we don't really concentrate on them. We don't really get them. You understand, knowing the meaning of a word is important. I heard about the man and wife in the court having a fuss and having a divorce and for all the judge, and the judge having to make a decision. Finally, the judge said to the husband, he said, "I've decided to give your wife $500 a week." And the man said, "That's nice of you, judge. I'll send her some money once in a while, too." You got to understand the meaning of words sometimes, amen, or you'll get the wrong slant, the wrong idea. Do you understand the word class? When we first went to school, we started hearing about class, didn't we? Somebody's in the first grade, somebody's in the third grade, and you're in that class, you're in that class. And so as we grow up as a kid, we understand a little bit about different classes. Now, what does it mean? It means something is separate from something else. It identifies, we may be in a different class with talent, with power, with wealth, with value. It's a measuring stick. We hear sometimes government-wise that those documents that would are classified. We understand what that means, don't we? Sometimes we'll say so-and-so's outclassed or he's in a class by himself. So we understand the meaning of it, I think, when we speak of the word a class. Do you understand that mankind's cry through history is to try to have everything equal? That's been the cry of history. Especially is it so when it deals with rights. I want equal rights. You ever hear that? There's an amendment floated around for years, I think pretty much finally defeated, called the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. Remember that one? That was some time back. And you got a big cry going on for so-called equal rights. We understand the phrase, all men are created equal. I believe Abe Lincoln gets credit for it. I'm not sure he originated it. But I hate to tell you something, it's not true. It's just not true. All you got to do is visit the little deformed bodies in some of these hospitals to see every man is not born equal. We need to understand that. What I believe Abe Lincoln and others are referring to is men ought to have equal rights, and I agree with that, certainly do. But all men aren't created that way. Some are created with a disease and with a handicap and all that. This old flesh has been corrupted and depraved, and the curse of sin is upon the world, and so that certainly messed up equality. It certainly has, as depravity is recognized. But it's been the dream of mankind, but it's an elusive dream. For everybody to have the same rights. I'll tell you one reason it's elusive and is not practiced is because by man's fallen nature, you know what he is? He's covetous. While he cries out, "I want equal rights," he wants to be a little more equal. He wants to be on top. He wants to be in the top class. He wants to be in the top grade. And that's natural to all of us. Somebody wrote a book don't open up a can of worms, but it was called Animal Farm, I think. And one of the statements in that little old book was that some are more equal than others. Now the theme was everybody's going to be equal. We're all going to be the same, but oh no, no. Some want to be a little bit more equal. History tells us of this. The history of revolutions in a country all has to do, if you ask why it got started, somebody felt like they were being pushed down, they were not equal with somebody else, and so the cry of the revolution was equal rights, everybody is going to be, no, it never worked. That's when they had another revolution, and another revolution, and another revolution. You go down to Mexico, you go down to other places, and you'll see statues or images to some great general, some hero, and you go to the next city or somewhere, and you got another one of another guy. He led this revolution, but nobody ever achieved the goal. Or if they got in power, they did what power does, they became corrupt. And so then again, another revolution had to be formed. History continues with the revolutions. And man's attitude of wanting to be better than the next guy is what the trouble is under this old cursed nature that we have. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to esteem others more than ourselves, but we don't do that. We esteem ourselves above everybody else. That's the old flesh. You have to fight that sort of thing. Now, this is a tool used by evil men. It's inspired of the devil, of course. Communism, what's its cry? Everybody's going to be equal. Did it work that way? It certainly didn't. You got the hierarchy up here. The middle class got wiped out. You got the super poor down here. And that was supposed to be equal? No, it wasn't. And it was an awful thing. You see what you have in that situation there. I say it's a tool of the devil. And in some ways, we heard it today called what? Class warfare. Pitting one class against the other. When I was a kid sometime, we'd get 40 different varieties of a mix of dogs. And mother wouldn't tolerate us to have dogs if they were off the porch. No cats. No cats in the yard, in the neighborhood if we could help it. But no cats, just dogs. And sometime I'd get two puppies. You know what I'd do with them? I'd rub their noses together. I like to see a fight. Rub their nose together. And they'd blame each other instead of the fellow that was rubbing the noses together. You know what that was? That was class warfare. You know what's going on in the world today? We got some folks rubbing some noses, and the folks whose noses are being rubbed together are not smart enough to look up and see who's doing that. That's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. I'm talking about mobs in the streets. You seeing that on the news? I'm talking about the ones marching up there in New York, Wall Street. What's going on? Somebody's convince some that somebody else has more than you. They're rubbing their noses together. Somebody else will call the haves, and these are the have-nots, and so the have-nots want to be equal with the haves. Now, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia that brought in communism used exactly what we're seeing happening even in the streets in America right now. Let me give you the picture here. We even got the unions involved now up there with the crowd on the street. And we got some folks that could care less what their goal is. In fact, they don't really have much of a goal. They can't even articulate a cause that's got them in the streets. They'd just rather be in the streets than to be down there working at McDonald's or somewhere else. That's the whole thing. So that's what they're doing, and they're falling in as a tool, if you please, as a monkey's paw to reach in and to be used and have their noses rubbed together to bring to power some folks that are not going to give them equal rights. Oh, no. Communism is a lie, of course, and it don't work. Some try to use the scripture for justification for communism. I won't turn to it, but you could read over there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 3 where it says they had all things common, early church now in the book of Acts. And none of them claimed all his stuff was his own. You know how long that lasted? About one chapter. You get on over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, and you got the widows in the church, two different classes of them. Two different backgrounds, the Grecians and the Hebrews, two classes, one fussing about the other. Now, surely that don't happen to you ever in your church history. She got to sing the special instead of me. Or she done this, or he done that, and I didn't get to. Hey, we're just as human as they were in the book of Acts. It didn't work then. It don't work now. It has not worked down through history, but it's been a tool of the devil. That's right. To try to claim this thing, and how much blood's been shed over it, and how much blood is yet going to be shed over it. But when the Bolsheviks came to power in Russia, they pitted the population against each other, and they had a revolution. It didn't matter what the issue was. It still don't matter what the issue is. You don't even have to have an issue. We come to a day and time now in electronics where they can get an automatic mob by just punching a few buttons, and everybody decided they'd rather go down there and wallow around in the streets than they had to work, and that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Don't matter about the issue, it's used as a tool. Now, there's a big plan behind it. Oh, I know it starts with the devil, but he uses men. There's a big plan behind it, and the plan is to finish off the American Republic. Destroy it. Under this thing we call socialism, which is supposed to be everybody's rights equal. Oh, no, no, no. Everybody gonna get the same amount of wealth? No, 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 no. Everybody got the same benefits, the same perks? No, no, it never has worked in history, and it won't work. Not on the government of man. No, it won't. Reagan said this, President Reagan said this. He said, America, and by the way, we were pretty much on the brink of where we're at again. And by God's grace, I believe he used that president to bring us back from the destruction and from going over the brink. Communism was strong when he went in the office, but I don't give the Pope credit. I give President Ronald Reagan credit for bringing down communism. And Reagan said this, he said, America is the last best hope of mankind on planet Earth. The last best hope. He saw the enemies against it. He knew what he was talking about. You see, when our founding fathers were used of God to found this country, we came closer as a nation to giving equal rights than any government you can point out in history. When we had our founding fathers draw up the Declaration of Independence, you remember? You remember what it said about that man was created? Now, somebody says, well, we don't have God in our founding. Oh, yes, all men are created equal. They have unalienable rights. That's in the Declaration of Independence. Those rights didn't come from the president. They didn't come from the king. They came from God. And that's what our forefathers recognized when they wrote that in man being created equal in deserving to have right and to have the pursuit of happiness. Does not say everybody is guaranteed happiness. You can't do that. But you have a right to be free to pursue, to make your own way, to be a free man, to earn your own way in this world. And the truth of the matter is, that's what our forefathers saw, and that's what's in our founding documents. And it's an unusual thing that we have a nation rise in history as America did. We had equal justice. Do you ever see the image, the picture of the scale, the balances, and Lady Justice standing behind and what? She's blindfolded. Remember? Now, you know what that was symbolizing? Supposed to be equal. Lady Justice didn't look and say, this guy's got more talent, he's got more power, he's got more wealth, I'll decide for him. No, she was blind. She's not as blind as she used to be in this country, I'll tell you that. But that was the original plan. That was the original plan. And our founding fathers had that in mind. And I want to say it worked. Almost 200 years, this country was the freest, the fairest, and the most equal of any country you could live in, far as rights go. That was America. It served us, it preserved us for around 200 years. It's been slipping really bad now. After about 1976, if you want to go back, maybe a little before that, but I'm talking about it has been a slippery slide downhill from those days. And why? Because old, covetous, depraved, sinful nature of man keeps on crying, I don't want to be equal, I want to be first. I want to be on the top. I'm not satisfied with the middle. I'm not satisfied with being free. Somebody's got more than me. I want it. That's the nature of man. I hate to say it, folks. That's all of our nature if we don't fight it. And so here's what happened country-wise. They removed the restraining force of God out of our classrooms, out of our colleges, out of raising our kids. So what happens now? The lust of man and his depravity. Grab for all you can get. Step on who you have to step on to get it. That's the attitude that's pulling our country down to the pit of hell. And it's doing it fast. It's doing it fast. The Republic, Benjamin Franklin said after the Continental Congress, and somebody asked him after they had the meeting and the forefathers walked outside and they asked, what have you done? The constitutional meeting and the Continental Congress trying to decide after we'd gotten free of the revolution. You know what Benjamin Franklin said? They said, what have you done? He said, we have given you a republic if you can keep it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the what? Republic of which it stands. That republic's in bad shape today. There's a big difference in a democracy and a republic. There's not a lot of difference between a democracy and a mob in the street. You see what I'm talking about to you today? We're talking about class equality or somebody rubbing the noses together of two classes and making one envious and jealous of the other and covetous of what the other has, and that's destroying our nation, our republic. We have come down not only to a welfare generation, but an entitlement generation. I am entitled. I got a right. Don't tell me I'm going to have to dig a ditch for minimum wages. Somebody else is not having to do that. I'm going to shortcut it and take what they've got. I know this is not good spit and polish preaching, but it's right where it affects us today and affects our families today and the kids we're trying to raise. I'll tell you that. No, I'll say this. Class equality, it's not going to happen on the rule of man. It never has. One revolution after another. It was a grand experiment that our founding forefathers brought into this world, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. Yes, yes, the freedom to exercise those rights, the freedom to earn your way without the government taking it away from you. That's what our forefathers had in mind. And our country thrived. Let me say, how many of you, and I know this dates us, but do you realize in 1913 there was no IRS? There was no IRS taxes. Do you understand that? And yet our country prospered. Amen. It prospered. I'm simply saying to you, things begin to change. And once the camel's nose gets inside the tent, he's going to push the rest of it on in. And that's exactly where we're at today. It served us for a while, but now the enemies have come in. They have sowed discord to where Americans that used to be happy, no longer happy, because they're not looking at what they got. They're looking at what they want. And they're looking at what they want because somebody else has got it. Watch out that you don't become, even as a Christian, envious of somebody that has more than you. The big Ten Commandments, what's the last one? Thou shalt not covet. Hey, that sums them all up. And it sums up an attitude that the devil is using in our society today. Now I want to say this. No, man is not equal. He's cried for it all his life. I want equal rights, but what he really means is I want more than my share. And I'll say this, he'll never get it the way he's going about it. And by the way, those that have brought in wealth, even if they've earned it, a lot of them brought it in crooked, but even if they earned it, do you understand wealth don't bring happiness? No, it don't. You say, oh, I'd sure be happy for a little while. Somebody said this, they've said, the rich man is smarter than the poor man because the poor man thinks if he had riches, he'd be happy. But the rich man knows it's not so. Riches don't make happiness. Contentment. No, it don't. Truth of the matter is, it brings a lot of problems with it. A lot of worries. Somebody asked, I guess at that time, he was the Bill Gates, he was the whatever. They've always tried to say who was the richest man in the world. I think it was J. Paul Getty at that particular time. And a reporter was interviewing him, and the reporter said to Mr. Getty, he said, "Mr. Getty, they've declared you now the richest man in the world. Mr. Getty, what is it that you would be even want a word about? What else could you want? You're the richest man in the world." And Mr. Getty, with a smile in his twinkle in his eye, said, "Well, all I want's just a little bit more." Isn't that something? Just want a little bit more. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. Never satisfied. The reporter went on and said some other things to him. Said, "Well, what would you have to worry about?" Mr. Getty said, "I worry about whose hand's in my pocket." How about that? Isn't that amazing? But I want to say this. While man cries out he wants equal rights, he really is crying out for more than his right. But I want to say this. There is some things that God says all men are equal in. For instance, he says all of us are sinners. We're equal. We're sinners. Romans chapter 3, if you picked it up in about verse 22, the last statement there would say, "For there is no difference." And verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're equal in that. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, not one, the Bible says. And you see the proof of that daily around us. The daily news tells us mankind's a sinner. Down the street this week, murder right down here. 2 blocks away, murder. Oh yeah, man's a sinner. I'll tell you something, we're equal in the fact that we're fallen, that we're sinners. God says we're also equal by the fact that the wages of sin is death. Everybody dies. You may live longer than somebody else, but yeah, death's on your trail. Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Romans 5:12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death hath passed upon all men, for in that all have sinned." Yeah, that's a common denominator with man. We all die. Or we can go to the hospital, we can take the pills, we can buckle the seatbelt, but we're just rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. The whole thing's going down anyway. It's going down anyway. Death. Death's on our trail. All of us fear death. The text here now, you look at it right at the end, the last few verses I read. Look at it, verse 15. Here they are, the heavens open like a scroll. Look at the class, the kings with all their power and all their armies, the kings and the great men, the generals, the captains, the chief captains, the mighty men. Then it goes right on down the ladder. To a man in debt, to a bond man, to a slave. And every free man, what'd they all do? They had something in common. You know, I saw a picture one time where a forest fire had gone through a great woods. It was a winter time. The river was frozen over, but there was a big slab of ice floating in the river. And the only safe place to get out of the fire for the animals was the river. And so it showed on this one slab of ice a number of animals floating because the woods was on fire and they had run from the fire. And on that slab of ice was a mountain lion, a deer, some raccoons, some coyotes. Oh, it was a list of animals. And you know what they were doing? They were not even fighting each other. Not one of them was trying to eat the other one. They all had a greater fear. That was the fire that forced them to flee. And you know what I'm looking at right here? I'm seeing all kind of men, all classes. And there's a greater fear they're looking at. They're looking toward the heavens as the heavens are open and the scroll is being rolled back. and they're crying for suicide. They're crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them because there's a greater fear that God they disdained, that God they mocked, that God they spoke against, that God they're fixing to have to face. They'd rather the mountains and the rocks would fall on them, all classes, the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated. Oh, they're equal now. They cried for it all their life. I want equality. Well, you got it now when you stand before God. You got it now. Oh, yeah, you're equal there. You know, truth is, there's some things horrible enough to make you beg for death. 9/11, did you see the pictures? Did you see that inferno of those buildings? Did you see people go to the window and jump out? How could they jump to their death? Because there was a greater fear pushing them. They were feeling the flames of that fire. They were trying to jump out of it, even though it meant death when they hit the ground. Here you have that at the end of this chapter. You have all the classes looking up in their fear as they look in the sky and God is looking down on them. You see, this crowd here had equal opportunity to be saved. See, that's where you're equal today. God says you're equal as a sinner, but thank God he also says you're equal in being able to be saved. He gives you an equal opportunity to trust Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to who? Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Equal, thank God, it's equal. Thank God I don't have to stand up here and say, well, maybe you could get saved, and maybe you could, or maybe you could. Oh, no, thank God, all the whosoever's in the Bible. Whosoever may come. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Oh, I'm glad for the whosoever's. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Thank God for the whosoever's. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's equal. It's equal. You got an equal opportunity here with God to be saved. But as I look at this class at the end of Revelation 6, and they're fearing God, you know why? Because they made the wrong choice. You know why they're there crying out for the mountains to fall on them? You know why? They made the wrong choice. They missed the rapture. They didn't get saved. The saints of God have been called out. Now they're coming back in judgment with their king. And the crowd on earth that said there's no God, the crowd on earth that blasphemed God, the crowd on earth that grabbed for more than their equal rights to be above somebody else, that crowd don't want to face God. They made a bad choice, a real bad choice. They were left behind. Not only that, they thought they made the right choice. See, they sided with the world's philosophy. They sided with the Antichrist crowd. Oh yeah, they got along a while. But all of a sudden, as things come to a conclusion, and the God they spurned, and the God they blasphemed, they don't want to face him now. Even to the place they'd commit suicide if they could get the mountains to fall on them. They are in such fear. Now, you know, they're fearing to see God's face. They've fallen for the devil and his deception. They've took a stand against God. Now they've discovered who the real God is and what a bad choice they've made. Hey, you read these verses. They're not crying out, save me, God. They're not crying out, Lord, I changed my mind, it's too late. They're crying out, oh, just hide me from his face. Just hide me from his face. But I want to tell you something, that's a prayer that don't get answered. You're not going to be able to hide from God. Go face him one day. Go face him. Yes, you are. Oh, listen. In Jesus Christ, you can face him in joy, in victory, in peace. That's what you have when you have Jesus. You can face him because Jesus faced your sins for you. He died on the cross for every one of them. He paid the price. You don't have to fear the face of God when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there's some great fears that man go through here. But I am amazed to look and see this crowd that gathers near the end time now. And they face God in judgment. And the great fear that they have to see his face. I've mentioned many times before, there's a medical doctor, and I'm sure he's dead now. Last time I saw him on TV, he was pretty feeble looking. Maurice Rawlings started off as an emergency room doctor and trying to bring folks back after they were slipping out, after car wrecks, various things. Putting the shocking pads on them and all those things that they do in the emergency room to try to keep a man from dying. He told many stories of people that he was finally able to resuscitate enough, and many times they lived after they technically had been dead. And he said this, and he told many stories. He said, I never saw a man. Said, I had them come back crying that they were slipping into hell. Crying that they were beginning to feel the fires of hell. Come back crying that the demons, the devils was already grabbing and clawing on them and gnashing on them with their teeth. Just like the Bible says. And this medical doctor said, I saw more than one come back screaming, don't let me go back there. He said, I will say this. I never saw a one that had that experience. But what it changed his life. And he said many of them come back and sold out to God. They got saved. They sold out to God. They served God. He said, I never saw one that come back and live like he was living before. Because the fear he had experienced as God had let him just get a glimpse before they brought him back. We're looking at the terror here. The fear of facing God in your sins. Compare that to the joy of knowing your sins are paid for. Your name's written in heaven. And look at the face of God with eagerness and joy and peace. Why wouldn't a man see the truth and run to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be their Savior? Oh, my friend, if you're here today, or if you're in Radio Land today, and you've never received Christ, you'll find yourself in this crowd if you're not careful. Oh yeah, there's going to be some folks live through the trib, and they're going to be in this crowd at the end of the trib when Jesus and his army comes back. Could be somebody sitting in this building right now. See, if Jesus came for the saved today, this verse would only be 7 years in the future. There could be many people in this building. Radio Land could still be in this crowd. Don't be in it. Don't be in it. God gives you the equal chance to be saved today. I pray you'll come receive Christ. That's the place you're going to find class equality. The ground is level at the cross. Jesus will save you. He'll save you today if you let him. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, thank God I've received Jesus Christ. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't fear facing the face of God because my Savior has taken care of my sins. Would you lift that hand? I'm saved. I know it. I've trusted Christ. Isn't it wonderful you could lift that hand? Do you remember when you couldn't? I certainly do. I certainly do. Thank you. You may put them down. But are you here today and you say, preacher, before you pray, here's my hand. While heads are bowed and you and God only are looking at me, here's my hand. I need to be saved. I do fear facing God. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you slip that hand up? Would you do it? In the building, young person, mom can't slip the hand up for you. Dad can't slip his hand up for you. It's you. Personally, you've got to answer. Can you slip that hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you do that? Would you do that? I don't know the man that got shot this week. I hope he was saved. I know nothing about him. But I'll tell you what, he didn't get up that morning and decide, this is my last day. He didn't get up in the morning and say, I'll probably get shot today. He didn't know. Neither do you. Neither do you. Are you putting off Jesus Christ? I hope you're not. Let's stand, please. Father.